We're at Esavei Ravel or Rav Nachman. Just to review for a moment, we learned yesterday in the Tap Taisvis, which seems to be the Iker Ladina, even though yesterday I mentioned that Rashi argued with Taisvis in the first Sugya, Rashi later by Geisel v'Nigzal is going to say a similar thing. So I'd just like to point out the following two dinim, which seem to be a little inconsistent. At first glance, it seems to be the opposite of the svara. Din number one, I buy a field from someone. I bought the field, I think it's my field. I improve the field. I spend, let's say, $1,000 improving it. It's worth $2,000 more. I find out that the field is a nigzal. The field is a stolen field. It's not my field. It's not the seller's field. So the original owner comes and takes it away from me. So am I entitled to my expenses? So Tosis says, yes, I'm entitled to my expenses. My expenses I get. Doitzois I keep. And so the $1,000 I spent on the field I keep. And I'm going to lose the $1,000 profit. I'm not so happy to lose the profit, but at least I get my expenses back. That's what Tosis says. That's how we paskin. If I buy a field, it turns out it's a stolen field. Case number two. I buy a field and I improve the field the same way. I spend $1,000, it goes up in value, $2,000. And now the Baal Chayiv of the seller comes and he takes it away from me. He says, look, he owes me a lot of money and the field, even with the Shvach, is less than the money he owes me. I'm taking away the whole field. So I tell him, give me the Yetzias, at least give me the $1,000 I spent. So the halacha is, he doesn't have to give me the $1,000 I spent. So the question now is, how does that shtim? If the field I improved is a stolen field, I have zero shaychus to it, I get my expenses back. And the field that I improved is a field I have a shaychus to. I bought it, and the person who sold it to me, it was his, just the Baal Chayiv takes it away, then I don't get my expenses back. I have to go running after the seller to try to get reimbursed. But the person who takes away the whole thing with the expenses. So when you hear such a thing, it's like an upside down world. What's worse? It's a field that I have zero shaychus to, a stolen field? Or a field that I have a shaychus to, and I bought it legitimately, just the Baal Chayiv takes it. I would think a field that I have a shaychus to, I have a better chance of winning in Bezdin. And yet, when it's a stolen field, Bezdin says, all right, you get reimbursed your hoitzos. And when it's not a stolen field, it's a Baal Chayiv field, I do not get reimbursed my hoitzos. It's a riddle. Why should it be that way? Why should it be that way? Can I figure it out?
You can get your money back from the
Meicher. Yeah, I understand. I'm going to get my money back from the Meicher, but in the meantime, Meicher has no money. Right now, the Meicher has no money.
The shot is, do I have a claim on the person who grabbed the field?
Right.
In a case where it was his field, so then when I went into his field, I did something to his field, so he has to pay me for his house for approving his field. But here, where he just grabbed it from me before, it wasn't his field before. It was my field, or it was the Meicher's field. But the point is, now he's just grabbing the value. But it's not like his field, like I went into his field and improved his field that he should have to pay me. He grabbed it anew now. It's his now. It wasn't his before. So what claim do I have on
him? About 5 years with the start, so there's a call you should have known about it. It's in your own risk. But it hasn't been known in the first place.
Yeah, in the case of a five, I knew I took my risk, but I feel at least what I spent, I should get back. Look, I did him a favor, this Baal Chayiv. I improved the field. It's talking getting back twice the money. Extra money, but at least he should reimburse me my yitzias, my yitzias. So you're explaining why it's fair. The question is why the din is that way. Why isn't the din that I should at least get reimbursed my yitzias?
What claim do I have on the Baal Kol? What am I going to? I'm going to take the peasant and say what? What did I do to you? What did I do to you that you have to give me money? What can I do?
I improved the field. I spent money to increase.
Whose field did I improve? I didn't improve his field. He was owed $1,000 from the lawyer.
Okay.
He has
what you're saying is correct. The way the Shach says it, the Shach explains his din in Siman Kuf Tes Vav. The way the Shach explains, he says that when you buy a field from a seller, you get whatever the din would have been of the seller if he had done what you did. If you buy from a seller and you improve the field, your din is whatever his din would have been. Right, there's a rule, ma mocha rishon l'sheini, kol schus shebiyadai. Why does a person sell someone else? He sells them whatever he has. Whatever schusim he has, that's what he can sell. So, why did he sell them? He sold them whatever he has. So, when you look at a buyer who improves a field, he's the honest guy. He's not a bad person. He bought it in good faith. And he improved the field. He gets whatever schusim the seller would have had. So, in each case, we look at the seller. In the first case, the seller is a ganav. He just went to someone else's field. No, if the seller would have gone down to someone else's field and improved it, so then the halacha would be hayared l'tasada chaveira, that he's entitled to his expenses. He loses the shvar, entitled to the expenses. So the buyer gets the same din as the seller. That just like if the seller would have improved the field, he'd get his expenses and lose the shvar, the buyer is the same deal. In the second case, I bought a field from who? From a legitimate owner who owes money. If the legitimate owner would have improved his field, and the Baal Chayv would have come, he could take away the whole thing with the improvement, with everything. He doesn't have to reimburse a penny. He's owed all that money. So it's taka true, the seller may be put $1,000 into the field, but the $1,000 he put into the field is owed to the Baal Chayv. So the seller would have had to give everything to the Baal Chayv. So the same thing, the buyer who improves it also has to give up everything to the buyer.
The Chayv is still worth more than the carpet and the shrach together?
Yeah, because otherwise he couldn't take it.
The carpet that was meshubed originally was worth less than the whole loan.
Right. That has to be the case, otherwise the Chayv can't take it. He can never take more than he's owed. So the Shach is explaining why this Taisus' rule, not only Taisus, all the Rishayim, that the Lekech from the Gazlan gets reimbursed the Yitzias, the expenses, that's only true by Gazlan. Because that's a case like Yeri Lotes Adach Aveira. It is not true in a case of a case of Baal Chayv. That's the Shach's explanation.
In the case of Baal Chayv, the reason why the guy that owes the money has to give him the item, he doesn't collect the sales of the Baal Chayv, is because it's part of the Chayv that he owes him.
Exactly.
But over here, when the guy bought it, it's us that he puts into the field. It's not part of what. It's his own money. He's not taking the money from the guy that owes the money.
It's true. But once he puts it in the field, it's in the field. Once it's in the field, he doesn't have more schusim than the seller would have had if he had it in the field. The field itself, the shvach hasadeh, is meshubet. Right? The shvach is meshubet to a bachay. Bachay gavim ben hashvach, lo min hapeh. Bachay is gavim ben hashvach. So once he's got ibn Ashraq, he's got the pashtas from the whole shvach.
It's nothing to do with this. It's nothing to do with this. He gets the shvach.
Now the question is, why doesn't he have to reimburse him the yitzis, right?
So
the teretz is because he wouldn't have had to reimburse the person he bought it from.
It's not like I'm selling the same schos that I have in the field. It's just like
me a field. If your field that you sell me has shibudim, when you sell it to me, those shibudim can't disappear. They have to carry over.
Okay.
And one of those shibudim is that if you improve the field, that the entire improvement is meshubet to the Baal Chayv. So that carries over to me.
That has something to do with I'm putting my own money into the shvach. So what I have the shibud, you can't. It's not the same.
You're saying a difference, but the shibud is still the same. The fields, it's not different. Here he's spending his money, they will be spending his money. It's endless. But the fact that the shvach hakarka is meshubet to the other person totally, that's what carries over. If he would have his horse parked on the field, you're right, it wouldn't go to the other person. But just as I have it on the field, it wouldn't be. But if it's in the field itself that this field is meshubet, then that does carry over. Okay, let's see the next Gemara, which goes now into the din of Peiris as well. Esi ve'ravel of Nachman. Emoit siyin la'chilas Peiris, l'shvak hargoyis, l'mozen isha, v'habonais, v'nechasim mishubadim imnei tikkun ha'olam. This tikkun ha'olam, they're actually two pshatim in the Gemara there in Gittin. We'll go with the pshat, which the Rishonim quote here. And that is that a dover she'ein like kitzva, an obligation which is open-ended, doesn't go to Mishubadim. If I buy a field, so I take the risks of certain things. I'm buying a field, I know you owe $100. I'm buying a $1,000 field. So, you know, I'm taking a risk, I can lose 10%. Could be you owe $1,000, I buy a $1,000 field, I take a risk of the whole thing. But I know what I'm getting into. So Chazal made the takana of Shibudei Karkois. But things like Achilas Perish, Vakarkois, Mazen Ishan Banais, you don't take Menachasim Shabbat, Nei Tikkun Ha'olam. Because a person can't get into a situation. No, a person is willing to take risk in business, but not an open-ended risk. A person, it takes to say, invest something, he knows he might lose his investment. So he's willing to invest. But to take an open-ended risk, that a person doesn't want to do. So because of that reluctance for people to buy such Karkois, Chazal said, "Mimnei tikkun ha'olam that you don't mind I from mishabdi, but that's only mishabdi who loy mafkina. Ha, mimnei chayri mafkina v'kitanim yelishvach karkois. We see yesh loishvach. What's the case of yesh loishvach? My lab lekech megazlin. So we see, like Rav and not like Shmuel, we see that somebody who buys from a gazlin and is mishabeach the karkois. So the shvach he come on ayin at least from bnei chayrin." We see you do get reimbursed for shvach. So the Gemara loy be balchayv. Balchayv gets reimbursed for shvach. For the Gemara iba balchayv, you can't say the Brice is talking about a balchayv. Because taka the safe is good, but emoresha. Emetzi alachilas peiris. Viba balchayv, balchayv, mi isle peiri, ham Shmuel. We have this rule of Shmuel, which we're going to have again on the next daf, that balchayv goyves a shvach, shvachin avo peiris loy. That Bachayv is only going to shvach in that Peiris, which I'll have to get into, we'll see why. So it can't be talking about Bachayv. Elopshita begeisel v'nigzal. Midereisha begeisel v'nigzal, seifanami begeisel v'nigzal. So the Gemara is going back to its original raya. Since one part of the Brice is talking about a field that's stolen, stum the whole thing is, and we see yesh lo shvach, which is Rav who said yesh lo shvach, and not Shmuel who said ein lo shvach. No problem. The Reisha could be talking by a gazlan. The Sefer could be talking about Balchayv. No problem. It's not a stira. A Brisa says differently. We learned the Brisa. That is, Brisa is missing words. Because if you read the Brisa, what does it say? You stole a field from someone else. So now you come on ein. What do you mean you come on ein? If you steal something and the guy takes it back, who's money ein? Who's gaiva? There has to be a third person here. If somebody owns a field and someone steals it, and you take it back from the guy, there's no, what's how are you gaiva? Who's money ein? So the Gemara says there are words missing. Kishu gaiva, gaiva chasim shubadim, b'shvach gaizim nechasim b'nei chayechidam. Ilai mikadiktani, if you, all there is an owner and a gazlan, he can't be a gazlan maman gavi. Gazlan doesn't mind from anybody, he's a gazlan. Elolav, kagosha gazlan son mechaveri mochra la'achar v'shbicha. So we see that if you steal a field, you sell it to someone else, he must be echid, he's on zayin d'shvach, which is like Rav and not like Shmuel. So l'chayra it's a raya to Rav. Amalei, Rav Nachman answered, it's not a raya. Lav t'vutzei kometarzis, t'vitz nami b'bachad. The price anyway is mishubish. There's some words missing anyway. Once there are words missing, you can't bring me a raya. You'll change these words, I'll change those words. You can't prove. A Brai says, Mishubash says, you can't prove from there. So Gemara ends up with no raya. But Agav, we learned the din of, till now we're talking about a gazlan. Here we learned the din of a bachayv, that bachayv is gaivis a shvach, and shvach in peiris lai. So we have now a din of bachayv, which is probably more shchiach than gezeila. So again, I buy a field, I buy it in good faith from the real owner, and I mishabeach the field, I raise its value, someone comes and takes it away from me, So I have a right now to be teveya two things from the one who sold it to me, the keren. Obviously, I paid him for the field. He owes it to me now. And the shvach. And whatever shvach, I was mishabeh at the field, I could manayin. Pay me loy, we'll see why. But shvach, I certainly could manayin. This whole sugya only talks about money going to shvach. Muki Yosef brings a Gemara Bava Basra, and he says that whenever we talk about Balchayv Gaives HaShvach, he doesn't get the whole Shvach. He only gets Chatzi HaShvach. He only gets half the Shvach. Now, again, you have to follow exactly what the case is. I bought a field from someone, and I know someone else has a lien on the field. I'm hoping he won't want it. The day comes, he comes to me, he says, you bought a field? Give it to me. The man owes me $100,000. The field with the shvach is less than what he owes me. Give it to me. When I give it to him, I give him the field. The field's meshubit. The shvach, I only give him half the shvach. Now, that's a riddle. Why should I give him half? Either I do give him the shvach, it's meshubit to him, or I don't give him the shvach, it's not meshubit to him. Why in the world should it be chatzi ashvach? Why do we give him? It's like a compromise. I give him half the shvach. It's a riddle. The Gemara doesn't say why. The Gemara says you give him, when you give him the shvach, you give him a chatzi ashvach. So the question is why you give him half the shvach. Why should it be that way? But before I get to why, everyone has to understand the din. Okay? The din is, again, a simple case, regular case of Mishabadim. I buy a field, I improve it, I fix it up, and then the Bal Chayv comes, Bal Chayv of the seller, and he takes it away from me. There's a lien on the property. So I have to give him the keren, the thing itself, but only half of the shvach. Only half of the shvach I have to give to him. So the question now is why half of the shvach? Why there's such a din that I give him half of the shvach? And that the Muki Yosef explains. It's a bit complicated, so I'd like to try to use a little bit, to use the board to explain it to you so that you'll understand clearly what's going on here. And after we finish discussing it, we'll get to how it applies in a practical sense. Yeah, what? Nothing to do with height size. I'm not talking about height size. We're talking only about the yin of the shach. The case is the following. But first, before we start, I have to tell you a different din. We'll call it din number one, which is not this din. Then we'll get to din number two, which is the Muki Yosef, and you'll see the Muki Yosef compares our sugya to din number one. Din number one is a regular rule of Shibudim. And the rule is the following. A man buys a field. Okay, kamakata. Okay, one day he buys a field. Next day, lava. He borrowed money from the first malva. Okay, malva number one. He borrowed money. Okay? A few days later, he needs more money. He borrows money again. This is all the, again, lava from Alva number two. And this is all along with the shtar, the karkas meshuvah. Okay, at this point, let's say the karkas worth $100, and he borrowed from him $200. Okay? Now, at this point, they say, pay up, you don't have money. They want to take the karka. Who gets the karka? So, Malva number one takes the karka. He's the only one that has a right to the karka. So, he gets this karka. That's pashut. He doesn't get that karka. Because the first life is Meshubatim. However, if afterwards the original person bought another karka, he bought a second piece of land. Okay, he bought another piece of land. It's also worth $100. So he bought a second piece of land. Now, the two malvis come. I say, he bought a piece of land, even he sold it already, it's meshubit. Who gets the second piece of land? They come to Bezdin. Loiva number one, this piece of land he gets totally. He has the first rights, he has first lien. Right? They call it first mortgage. The second piece of karka, I might think, same thing. Leiva number one should get this piece of karka. The halacha is not that way. Halacha is that this piece of karka that the person bought, he first got, after he had two alvois, it's meshubit to both of them equally. It's meshubit to him and him equally. Why? Because the loiva, why does the loiva have a right to this karka? The Gemara says, he has a right, he says, I relied on that karka when I lent him money. And this karka is what I relied on. When I lent him money, he owned this karka. So I relied on it. You can't come later and mess up what I relied on. This karka was bought later. He can't say, I relied on this karka. The karka was bought later. So therefore, in this karka, it doesn't matter who's first. They're both, it's meshumit to both of them equally. In other words, yachlaiku. He'll get 50 and he'll get 50 from this karka. That's a halacha which the Muki Yosef brings as a halacha psuga, and he uses it to compare it to our sugya. Okay, you follow?
That question that I relied on the money, if that's the only kind of, so what happens if there'd be a loibish, a mavish shlishi afterwards?
You have to hear?
Right, they don't have the kind that we were assignment on that karka that they bought, because that came after, so you should also come into the mix according to that, just based on that far alone.
Because they can't say they relied on it.
Isn't it
Could
Shiva
be, because this Shiva came both of them at the same time.
Right.
It might be. The problem is the Gemara uses the lotion that I used. So I'm not sure why. Okay. But at any rate, this halacha, as I say, is halacha psuka, that they both go to both Meshubadim the same. Muki Yosef has here a pshat. We used to see more in the Achronim. It's like an Achronish pshat. I don't mean it as a degrading thing. I mean, he has a hesber in why they split the shrach. He analyzes our case. Our case is just one piece of karka. I buy a piece of karka, and I'm mishabeyach it, and then the original Baal Chayv comes to take it. So here you have, the first step is the same. There's a piece of karka that we bought. Right? Again, the same thing, the person bought karka. Step one is exactly the same. Again, let's say the karka is worth $100. Step two is also the same. Lava from Malvin number one. Okay. Now what happened in our case? Let's say he borrowed $200. Same numbers, first two steps are the same. Third step in our Gemara is that the person sold the karka. So the karka went to the Likeach. Okay, you sold the karka to Loikeach. And Loikeach now has a $100 field. And he sold it by Achrayus. He sold this karka by Achrayus, right? That was the Achrayus. That if anybody takes it, he's going to reimburse him the $100. So he sold this karka with Achrayus. Okay. What happened next? Next step, the Meicher was Meshbiach the Karka. The Lekeach was Meshbiach the Karka. Another $100. Okay. So he was Meshbiach it when? As sort of the fourth step. There's a $100 Karka. The Leiva lends him $200. What's Meshubit at this point? The $100 Karka. He sold the Karka. The Lekeach is a $100 Karka. That $100 karka totally goes to the loiva. This karka is the same karka as this karka. So it's totally meshubit to him. The chapad in Muki Yosef is this. The next day, when he's mashbiach the karka, what happened? A new shibud was created. The $100 shvach, this $100 shvach, came into the world when? It came into the world after, as the fourth step in the story, this shvach, which is meshubit, is the same as this $100 karka, which started to have a shibud at the end of the story. Zaktin the Muyaisif, follow Ichab. He says, just like this $100 field is meshubit to both of them equally, because it came into the story after both of them existed already, this $100 shvach
is meshubid two places. Meshubid, of course, to the Leiva. So the Leiva is on $200. It's $100 karka, $100 shvach. It's meshubid to him. But it's also meshubid to this achrayis. The achrayis that happened in the third step, what happened here? The lekeach bought a field for $100. And the Leiva, it says, first it was the Leiva to him, to the Malva, he says, I'm selling you the field. Bachrayus, if someone takes it away, I have to reimburse you. That means he's really creating a chayv. If I sell you a field and I say, if someone takes it, I'll pay you back. I'm creating a chayv of $100 at this day because of the achrayus. So what happened in step three, when the person sold the karka, he sold the karka and he guaranteed it, which means he created a chayv of $100 to the lekeach. Since this $100 field goes totally to this leiva, this $100 goes totally to the leiva, it comes out now that the lekeach is also owed $100. He's owed to be reimbursed this $100. Therefore, by step number four, to guide this, you come to Manai the Shvach, all the Shvach gets taken away. Where does it go? This Shvach goes 50% to this chayv, he owes $100 to him, and 50% to this achrayis chayv, because he owes $100 to the lekeach because of the guarantee of the sale, because of the achrayis. See, here the mukiyah is the schab. The entire shvach, the Gemara says, you have to give up half the shvach. What does it mean you have to give up half the shvach? You have to give up the whole shvach. But where does it go? Where does the shvach go? It goes to all your chayvis equally. Which chayvis do you owe? You owe two chayvis. You owe like Malva number one, because you borrowed from him. And you owe the loikeach because of the achrayis to the loikeach. So since the achrayis of the guf hakarka is owed to the loikeach, so just like if you would buy a karka later, you would have to split it, it would go to two of them. The same thing, if you create a shvach later, which is also meshuvit, it goes to both of them equally. So therefore, Zakhtin Muki Yaisit, that's Pshat Yenna Gemara in Bava Basra, that the money goes equally to two of them. They split this shvach. The shvach gets taken away. But where does it go? Where does the shvach go? It goes to all Bali Chayiv that predated step number four, which is the creation of the shvach. The shvach was created at last. It goes to everybody. Who's everybody? The lekeach himself, who created the shvach, he's owed money back rayas for the guf hasadeh. So for that reason, he has an equal right. He gets here for the shvach. And therefore, after the book of Yosef, the chatzi shvach goes to the lekeach himself. It's a very klar pshat. I don't think I would have thought of it myself, but it's a very klar pshat why the shvach should go. But this, what?
It's not chayiv for the achrayis, it's called after. There's no chayiv because the shvach was created.
Not really. I think, I could check this up, maybe I'm wrong, but I think achrayis is from the time of the Mechira. If he owned karka at the time of the Mechira, he owned other karka, I think it's achrayis from then. If he would sell this, his future karka, and then somebody will come and take it, I think it's Meshubit. Not on the shvach, on the keren. He gets half the shvach because the keren was guaranteed. He gets half the shvach as payment for the $100 of keren. That's the way the Muki Yosef learns.
How does this show with the expression that you only get shvach on the keren as opposed to chasam shvach?
Because, you see, that's the Muki Yosef's chab. He doesn't get half the shvach because the person owes him shvach. He gets half the shvach because the person owes him keren. The $100 keren. That's why he's getting the shvach. You know, Louis Yitzur, the keren would have been $100, and the shvach would have been $1,000. He can't get half. He can only get his 100 back. He can't get more than his 100, because it's a repayment of the keren, not a repayment of the shvach. That's the Muki Yosef's chab.
The shvach was $1,000.
Then the Leiva would get 900. If he owed him 900, he would get 900, and he would get 100. You can't get more than 100. Because it's a reimbursement for the Karen, not a reimbursement for the Shach.
You can't collect Shach. That's just
pashtus.
It's only because it's part of the original karka, that's why the mal of Rishon has a right to get to it. Because it's nichal my, it's as if I owned it from back then.
The shvach?
The shvach, yeah. So then what happened, this guy come and collect it from the manashav. The malva has a right to it, that means the malva has a list, it belongs to me. It's not, when the shvach was created, it already belonged to the lekeah. And the shvach was created. So now if you look at it, it's nichal into the karka Rishon, and then it's, and it goes to the
Malvavishim, but if not... Okay, let me tell you, the Mukhi Yosef adds a knage. It gives into half what you said. Mukhi Yosef adds that this is all true only about a shvach that was created through the effort, the Haitzah Asmamin, or the work of the Lekeach. If that shvach would have been just because the market values went up, but he calls a Hishbiach Me'elav, if it's a shpiach me'elav, then, like you're saying, then that's all part of the original shibud. Then it's part of the original shibud, and it goes totally to the like, malva number one. What we're talking here about is shvach that was created because of his haitzais that he put into it, his work he put into it. That is brand new. That's a new thing, like we're calling it step number four in the diagram. It's step number four, and step number four is a totally new thing, and therefore, even though it's a chiddush, that's meshubid, because it's an improvement in the field, it's only meshubid equally to the two of them. This is the Mukhi Yosef's chiddush, yeah. He's going to collect with Nechayri, he'll try to collect the shvach.
Why isn't this
Mechayr? It's Meshubit to the first person. It's Meshubit to the others.
Since it has a
Shibud? This Shvach, when it comes into the world with a Shibud. Now the Pashtus is, what's going to happen now, after all the dust settles and this money is divided, what's going to happen at the end of the story is that Lekech is entitled to another $50 worth of Karen and another $100 because he has to be reimbursed to Shvach. So Taka be entitled to it. But the reimbursement for the Shvach comes after the Shvach.
Yeah,
it's later, not earlier.
The point is this, when this sheep becomes, let's say if the sheep is shot, would be $1,000, so there would be a lot more money to go around. This sheep wood is only split 50-50. It's not a sheep to the first malva completely. It's half of it's a sheep to the other half is a sheep to me. So that should be considered my B'nai Chayr. And I should be able to be
going to Shvach from there to. What you're saying may be a dispute between the Shach and Nachas David, which I'll get to. Let me get to it in a minute, okay? But I don't fully understand the Nachas David, which is similar to what you're saying. So either Rabbi, maybe you'll help me out a little. But this is what I want you first to understand is the words of the Mukhi Yosef, okay? These are the words of Mukhi Yosef. Now, before I get to something that makes it more complicated, let me get to something that's a little more simple. There's a shaila that's quite shchiach nowadays regarding someone who goes bankrupt. Let's say someone opens a business. A person opens a business, he needs, let's say, machinery, he needs sfeira, he needs money, he borrows money to pay his workers. Let's say I'm someone who... pick an example, let's say I sell freezers. So he's opening up an ice cream store, he needs freezers. So this man opens a business, let's just to make the number simple, let's say he needs $20,000. He needs $10,000 capital, he needs $10,000 machinery. Fine. So he goes over to Reuven, he says, Reuven, I want to open a store, lend me $10,000. He says, fine, I'll lend you $10,000. Then he goes over to Shimon. Shimon, he says, you know, I need freezers. He says, okay, I'll give you $10,000 worth of freezers. You owe me $10,000 for the freezers. Fine. The store goes bust. Right? He's bust. He's bankrupt. Now he owes $20,000. He owes $10,000 to the person who lent him the cash. He spent all his cash. He advertised whatever he did with it. And he owes $10,000 to the guy who gave him the freezers. Now, what does he have? He's closing up his store. All he has left are the freezers. Who gets these freezers? the freezers are meshubid now to the Baalei Chayv. Right? Even though it's not karka, it's still meshubid, but right, if he didn't sell it, he still has it, it's meshubid. Who gets these freezers? Do we say, well, the freezers should be divided equally? The man owes $20,000. He has assets of 10. It should be divided evenly. Or should we say, 1 minute, the person who gave him these machines, these freezers, or Skyro, whatever he gave him, he should be entitled to take it back. After all, he's the one who put it there. So he should be entitled to take it back. So why would you say Alpi Svara? Well, what would you say? I guess it depends if you're the one who sold the freezers or you're the one who lent the money, right? Alpi Svara, what should be? He gave him the machinery, yeah. He gave him freezers, he gave him Skyra to sell, whatever it was. And the thing is, they're banned, it's still there. Alpi Svara, what should be?
Svara said before that I blended with that assumption that I would have these. So when he gave him the freezers, he only let them know that he had that collateral in the freezers. He knew the machines aren't going anywhere. I only lent them.
Maybe. Maybe you owe $20,000 besides me.
That's fine, but I lent them.
I didn't have an assumption I had those freezers, because the case is anything else. In case I owe any other money, I'm going to get those freezers.
So it's a roundabout thing. If the halach is he gets the freezers, then when he sold it, he was relying on the freezers. If the halach is he doesn't, then... I would have thought, I'll tell you the truth. What's fair, people always say it's only fair. What's fair, it sounds like it's fair, he should get his freezers back. Technically, I would think, look, he has assets that should be divided. I would have thought I'll be din. If this wouldn't say anywhere in halacha and people would ask me the shayla, I would think Alpi Din. Look, he divided. Those are the assets he has, he divided. But the Bach says that the freezers go back to the person who gave him the freezers. The Bach says, without saying clearly why, the Bach says that, no, if I give him assets, or I give him freezers, if I give him abschayra, that goes back to me. Achrenim seem to say, similar to what you're saying, that's like a daita dahachi. Now, whatever I put in, that goes back to me. A person goes bankrupt, so the assets that are fates and be'en, things be'en that I put in, that should go back to me. As I state in Bach.
Why? You wasn't planning on paying back reasons. You planning on
I hear, I, like I told you, in Svara, I understand, the Bach seems very schwer.
It's not Malay Tzav.
What?
It's not Malay Tzav.
The Bach says it rather even by things that are Malay Tzav. He says it on Schaira. He gave him Schaira to sell. He gave him pocketbooks to sell. He says it even there. As a matter of fact, he's talking by Schaira. That's the case of the Bach. I give him an example of freezes. He says...
Give him money to buy the
pocketbooks. Give him... Oh, it's an interesting thing. The Bach... I don't have the guts to say it. The Bach Taka says that if you gave him money, he says two things. He says three things. He says this, what I told you about the freezers. Then he says if you gave him money, and the money is still there, the same cash is there, and you also get it back, which, okay, I can hear. He also says if you gave him money, and it was expressed, you're giving him the money to buy freezers or to buy pocketbooks, he says also it goes back to the one who gave him the money, which seems to me to be the biggest chiddush of all. You hear what he said? I don't want to go so far. I wanted only to tell you the first thing the Bach says. The Bach says, even if you gave him cash, but it was expressed that you're giving it to him to buy specific items, those items also meshubit to you. Which only makes sense if you assume it was at Aita Dahaf. But anyway, this is the Bach's shot. The Ktsais in Simon Kuf Dalit, if cotton. Yudalid, I believe. So Katan Yudalid brings the Bach, and he says this Bach is shver from the Nemukah Yosef Perakamad above Mitzia. It's shver from this Nemukah Yosef. Why is it shver from this Nemukah Yosef? Because he says, how did the Nemukah Yosef explain the Gemara? Nemukah Yosef had a very clear explanation. The four steps. He says, after step number three, you sell the karka, bachrayis. Now, this balchayv, this person who owes money, owes $100 to the person he lent money to, who lent him money, which he spent. And the $100 achrayis that he sold the field with. Now, what are your money going from? The guy is bankrupt. So your money guy from the field. The field goes to the malvin number one, no shayla. Your money guy the shvach. Zoktik tzais, that shvach is like the freezers. What is that shvach? That shvach is something that the lekeach put into the field. The lekeach sort of gave it to the person he bought the field from. He bought a field for $100. And he put in, he built fences, he fertilized the field. He personally put in schayra, so to speak, that's worth $100 into the field. He improved the field. Now that the person he bought it from is bankrupt, and people are coming to Manayim from him. So who's coming to Manayim from him? Malvin number one. And he himself is coming to Manayim. He has a right to Manayim from him too. Zaktik Tzais, if like the Bach says, that if you gave something to the person who's bankrupt, you have a right to get it back first, then the Lekeach, who's the one that gave the Shvach to the person who's bankrupt, he gave him the Shvach. He put the Shvach there. Now, of course, when he put the Shvach, he didn't know what he was doing. He thought he was doing it for himself. But it comes out, when he put in the Shvach for the other person. Putting in that Shvach for the other person, he should have first dibs to get it back, first rights to get it back. And this is the opposite of the Bach. Because the Bach says he does have first rights to get it back. And the Mukhi Yosef says, no, he has equal rights. He only gets 50%. So Tzais asks that this Mukhi Yosef is not like the Bach. Because according to the Bach's rule, if you put assets in to someone who became bankrupt, you have first rights to those assets.
How's it comparable cases?
It's comparable in that in both cases, a man went bankrupt. He owes money to two people, doesn't have enough money. And his assets are now going to be divided, because the Shvach is divided. But why is it divided? One of the two people to whom it's going to be divided is the one who put it there. Just like by the freezer, the man went bankrupt. He owes $20,000. He only has 10. So we say divide it. We say no, don't divide it. He's the one that put it there. He should get it back. Here too, the person went bankrupt. He owes $200 to the person he lent money. He owes $200 to him, and then he owes another $200 to Lekea. Now, why are they dividing it? Taka, they should divide it. But once they come to divide it, the person who put it there should be able to get the whole thing. Because the Bach says the one who put it there gets it. So why doesn't the one who put it there, why doesn't he get the whole thing? If there's such a svar. This is the Tzais's kasha on the Bach. Which again, it's all because he's masking to the Mukhi Yosef's whole cheshbin. Now,
this...
If you want to answer the Bach, you should say much, much clearer. There's a clearer way to answer the Bach. It's a much clearer way. If you want to answer the Bach, what you would say is the Bach says, if I gave him freezers, I'm supposed to get paid for the freezers, I get the freezers back. If I put in Shvach, and I'm supposed to get paid for the Shvach, I would have to get the whole Shvach back. Look, Yosef didn't say that you're getting paid back the Shvach. Yosef said you're entitled to get paid the Keren. So it could be the Bach is Maida, when you put in the Shvach, and you're entitled to get paid back for the Keren, that you don't have first rights on Shvach for Keren, only Shvach for Shvach, or freezers for freezers. I think that would be a clearer way to answer. That depends on what we said before. Okay, so there's one more Nakuda here, and that's the Lashon HaGemara. The lashon of the Gemara that I just read to you right before the Toshma said, "Holy Tani Hachi, Shvakar Kois Ketzad, Harry Gazal Slam Mechaveri, Eitzim Tachas Yodai, Shul Gaiva, Gaivas Nekeren Melechasim Mishubadim." The Shach just asks on the Muki Yosef that according to the Muki Yosef, in this story, the Lekeach already got paid back part of his Keren. The Lashon HaGemara Goyve Es HaKeren Min Luchasa Mishubadim. He doesn't get back his whole Keren. It's part of the Keren he got back when he divided the Shvach. So the Lashon HaGemara Goyve Es HaKeren, which sounds like you get the whole Keren back, not accurate, you only get half the Keren. So the Shach says the Lashon is Lav Dafka. It says Goyve Es HaKeren, it means whatever he owes you for the Keren you get. Rachinami, with that arrow over there, you already got paid back half of the Keren. That's what the Shach says. Not so shver. It says the Lashon of Gemara, loyal Lishna Ketiyah Nokat. It's like a half a Lashon. That's what it means. Nachlas David brings the Shach, argues with him. The Nachlas David Shita is different than the way I explained Muki Yosef. I have problems with the Nachlas David. It's similar to what you were saying earlier. You could look at the Nachlas David. He brings the Shach first, but at the end, the bottom line, he goes into his own sheet of understanding the Muki Yosef. And I understand better the way the Shach understood, the Tzais understood, the way I explained it to you. The Nachlas David, I'm just telling you for the record, the Nachlas David has a different Mahalach. I can't, I can explain to you the Nachlas David. It's hard enough to understand the Muki Yosef. The simpler way, Nachlas David's way, is much more complicated. Kapanim, what do we go through now? The rule of Gevias HaShvach. We're still talking about Shvach. We didn't even get into Paris yet. We're talking about the rights of money on Shvach. Let's see one more Toshma. Toshma, Lachilas Paris Ketzad. Now we go into Paris. Harei Shagozel Soda Mechaveiroi. Somebody stole a field from his friend. Some friend. In Shas, everyone's Chaveiroi. It's amazing, no? What does that mean? I stole a field from someone. Now again, the Bryce's Lashon is missing something. It says, I stole it. Now, if I just stole it, you just get it back. Finished. What does it mean, kshu gaiva, when you're money, who's money nine? Hechida. Ilai mikdiktani, it can't be. Gazla meman gavi. So it's missing words again. Elu laf, kagosh, shagaz asad mechaveri, mocha la'acher v'shpicha. Amarava, so again, it's a raya that you money on shvach. Amarava, chamayaskina, kagosh, shagaz asad mechaveri, malaya peiris. Important lashon. He stole a field full of Paris. Now, the Gross says that the Rambam's not Goyris Malaya Paris. We're going to have to see what's going on with this Rambam. Someone stole a field full of Paris. Va'achlas ha-Paris, v'chofa ba'baris shichrumaris. He made the value go down. Two ways. He ate the Paris. And he dug ba'baris shichrumaris. He dug different types of water holes in the field. Ba'n nigzal likvais keren, gave him the chasim mishubadim. So Rava says that's the case that this Bryce is talking about. So there's no raya to the machlekes we had earlier. Finished. Right. This din of gazal soda mechaver malaya peiris. The Rambam, the Gra says, is not gairis malaya peiris. What is the Rambam? The Rambam says a halacha, which is a chiddush, but the Rambam says it's ladina. I believe the Mechaber paskins this way. It's in Hilchas Gezeila, Perek Tes Halacha Ches, which all right, the Gra doesn't say chensu, but in the Ein Mishpat it says chensu. Perek Tes Halacha Ches, Hilchas Gezeila. So you have to think about the case. A new case. Okay? New, everything's similar, but a new case. We today and yesterday we only talked about shvach. We never talked about peiros. We talked about peiros. You steal a field, you sell it to me. You sell it to me. Now, if you have this fruit on the field, when you sold it to me, the tree has fruit, and I eat the fruit, it's pashit. I have to pay back the nigzal. It's pashit. It's pashit gezeila. I ate his fruit. If you gairis malaya peiros, a davar pashit. I have to give back the peiros. If the Rambam is not gairis, then it's not because he argues with it. Like it's pshita. What would be the din if you steal a field, you give it to me, you sell it to me, and the field is empty? It's a barren field. I go and I plant and I plow and I fertilize and it's growing, and before the owner of the field comes back, I already harvested the field, I ate all the peiros. It's a barren field. It's a year later, it's again an empty barren field. In the year in between that I had it, I got peiros out of the field. But a year ago, when I got the field, the stolen field, it was a 5-acre field with nothing in it. It was worth $1 million. A year later, it's weiter. A 5-acre field with nothing in it, worth $1 million. The nigzal comes. He says, I want it back. I tell him, really? All right, it was stolen. It's yours. Take it back. Could the nigzal tell me, what about all the peiros you ate the whole year? I want that back also. Should he have a right to those peiros? That's a question. Now, pashtus, that's not what was stolen from you. What was stolen from you was an empty field. And an empty field was taken, an empty field was given. Now, if the peiros are still there, I can understand. You're saying it's your field. Your field went up in value. But if it's the same exact field,
mechitesi. Based on how long we said, when I go into Rebbe's field,
we said that about shvach. We never said that yet about peiros. Now we're supposed to talk about peiros. Shvach is certainly that way.
But the point is that when I go and I grow peiros or shvach or anything, it doesn't become mine. Actually, it belongs to Rebbe.
It depends on what. Is that true?
All
right, so 1 second. The Rambam says that a tremendous chumrah on the buyer. You know, if I was the person who bought this field, I wouldn't feel this is fair. Hagozel sadeh u'machra. Someone stole a field, he sold it to me. V'achal ha'lekeach peiroseha. And the lekeach ate peiros for a period of time. Mechashvin olav kol ha'peiros she'achal. We make a cheshbin of all the peiros. He could have had the field for 10 years. And he ate all the peiros for 10 years. Umishalim lebala sadeh, and he has to pay it all back. If you'll be lucky, the gazlan will have assets, you'll get it from him. But you hear, the Rambam says every penny goes back. The Magen Mishnah says that this Rambam is not like the Pashtus of the Gemara, in Shnayim Ha'echzim, in our Perek. Because he has the girsa, kagon shegozel sada malaya peiros. If you have our girsa, sada magi mishnah, only gozel sada malaya peiros, you have to give back the peiros. But if you have gozel sada, it's not malaya peiros. It's a shver rambam. The Gemara says malaya peiros. As I frack the magi mishnah, he also brings Rashi's lashon. There's also mashma, only the peiros that either were there or are there now. So the Gra is answering the Magen Mishnah's kashi, saying the Rambam wasn't gairus malaya peiros. The Rambam holds even if it's not malaya peiros, you have to give back. See, after the Magen Mishnah brings our Gemara, the Magen Mishnah says makomaka im devar avikar. He says nevertheless the Rambam is right, and he bases it on a klal that karka eina nigzelus. Now this is a klal which many of you had when you learned lulav hagazel. A lot of people remember from Lulav HaGazel. If you want Hazav, I think you have it in Hazav also. The rule of a karka eina nigzelus, which is, which you've all had, right? A karka, you can't really steal karka. Karka stays where it is. Karka eina nigzelus. Zok de Magen Mishnah, if you hold that karka eina nigzelus, it means like this. If I steal your metaltalim, I take it away from you and I give it to somebody else, he could be kinder. Yishin Rishus, he could be kinder. Now there's a mitzvah of returning the gzela, but it's if it's the gzelas, it's the gzelas. If karka is the gzelas, I stole a 5-acre field. I have to give back a 5-acre field. What I did in between shouldn't count. But because karka ain't an exelus, karka, wherever it is, belongs to its real owner. So the Magid Mishnah has pshat in the Rambam. Since karka ain't an exelus, during the year that I ate the peris and the field gave fruit, it wasn't my field. That field is the real owner's field. And when fruit grew, it's kilu, it's still his field in his backyard. Just like if I go into his backyard in his field and I steal his apples, I have to pay him back. The same thing if I have a karka, which I think is mine, I think I bought it, but it's really his. All the fruit I ate is his fruit. Since it's his fruit, so now I have to pay it back. And now it's... And now I have to pay back all the fruit I ate all the years. Because of the rule that karka ain't an exelus. As I state on Magid Mishnah. Which is a very klara psak. Makes a lot of sense. If I get a field that's not mine, so it's still yours. It's still the real owner. Karka ain't an exelus. Aye, what does our Gemara do? Those who are goyris malaya peiris, what do they do with karka ain't an exelus? I know you can learn our Gemara is going like the man yam and karka ain't an exelus. Easy way out. Otherwise you need a teretz. But the psak of the Rambam, based on the rule of karka ain't an exelus, is a klara psak. Okay, tomorrow we move on to daf tesvav and yitzhak.